Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. It's about the story about how David was trying to bring back the Ark of the Covenant, the holiness of God, back into Jerusalem, where it's supposed to be, and he wanted the Ark of the Covenant, the holiness of God's presence, to be in the midst of Jerusalem and in the midst of his house. He did prepare, but let's see how what happened during the time. Today's message title is A Lesson from Uzzah. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of our Lord back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul." Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath, to bring the ark of the God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Baalah, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, and his name is proclaimed. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and trumpets. And when they had come to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Amen. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, something special about this message today. A message which speaks to my heart today morning, and speaks to my mind today morning, and speaks to my flesh today morning. It speaks to three parts of my body today. It speaks to everything as I prepared this. It was speaking to me in and out of me. It is turning me inside out so that God's presence can be shown. And He's showing me that these are the last days. I want you to take this heed, James, and I want you to take this heed very carefully. Amen. The word of God says that in 1 Chronicles 13:8, that in all he was with all their might, they played and they came, brought the Ark of the Covenant. They were all joyfully bringing, singing and bringing the Ark of the Covenant. There is something that you must know, understand. Right thing must be done right, in right manner, in the house of God, in the presence of God. Right things should be done in right manner or they will fail. Normally in the flesh, if I do it my flesh way, it always fails. And in this case, failure was sad. And it's a signal to, it was sad for this man and the entire group of David and the armies of David and the kingdom of David. But it was also a signal to him at the time. It was a signal to him. It was a reminder to him. A signal sent out from God. Today we hear so many things happening in the world. We see so many things about tremor here, tremor there. People dying here, people dying here. And people are being uprising in certain nations. All these are happening around. But it's a signal to us now. It's a signal God is sending to every one of us. It's a signal God is sending to every pastor in the world. It's a signal God is sending to fivefold ministry. A teacher, a prophet, an apostle, pastor, an evangelist. God is not only signaling to them, He's also signaling to every Christian who is called by their name. Amen. He's sending a signal now because it's not the death of what's happening in Japan. It's not about what's happening everywhere else. The second one with the second earthquake came by a few days ago. But something else greater is going to come. Something else greater is going to come. And what the whole world is going to some or other mourn again. But God is sending signals to us. Everyone is hearing this. Hear it loud and clear, He says. I'm sending signals to you now. in the days when they brought out the Ark of the Covenant, and as they brought out, as they were coming out, you know, they found something, and Uzziah died at that time. And the next verse says, I stopped at 10. You go on, next one, it says that, verse 10 says this. 11 says this. And David became angry because of the outbreak of the guard. And David became angry. Some of us become angry, and you're asking God, why are you doing this to the world? Why are you doing this to your creation? Why are you doing these things to people? As much as David was angry at the time, there are people till today asking questions. They're asking questions. They're angry with God sometimes. And today is a day where we have to realize God is listening. God is watching. God is showing things that we should be shown to us. Amen? The ark turned inside aside. Although the people were singing and praising God and worshiping God with all the instruments, not one instrument, all the instruments, and singing with their might, yet God allowed this to happen. And the word of God says, the new cart, not an old cart, a new cart. A new cart they made when they brought this Ark of the Covenant, which was lost during the time of Eli. You remember? You'll find in Samuel 1, during the time of Eli, as the prophet, as the man of God who was there, who mentored Samuel, during his time, because of the wickedness of his sons, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant to fight against the Philistines. At that time, they lost the war, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines at the time. You go back and read about it. But what happened is now he's trying to bring back with a new cart. David is a man, if you know David, he will not do something second class for God. David always does something best for God. A new cart, I believe, he had all the things fixed very well with the wheels all done nicely before they pulled out the cart with the Ark of the Covenant on the cart. But even then, at their singing and worshiping, the cart gave way. The cart gave way. Why? There are one thing I learned from this failure as I was reading this and I was preparing this. There was a failure. He was talking about a failure. A failure of man. A failure of man because we always do by flesh. We find, number one, in the failure, you'll find that people gather together. There was multitudes. The word of God says that multitudes were there. There was multitudes singing. Multitude means crowds of them they were worshiping God. But multitude does not bring blessings. A great gathering can happen in a church. But is there a blessings? Is there a presence of God? That's the reason why God is asking nowadays, and Jesus has already spoken before, in the last days you'll find people coming up here and coming up there, people will be seeking one and after another person. Oh, here is the Lord's man. This is God. This is the man of God. This is the man of woman of God. In the last days, it's happening now. There are crowd pullers, crowd catchers, but end of the day, is the presence of God there. Is the blessings of God flowing down. Amen. God is asking us today, are we seeking the man or the giver? Are we seeking the man or the giver? The blessing must be there from the Lord, not from man. Blessing must be there, and the presence of God must be there in the multitude. It's useless of having a big multitude of 20,000 people or 1 million people. End of the day, you will not have the blessings of God. David, when he called, as you read from the verse 1 itself in 13, he called upon every one of those tribes who were in the Israel remnants. Every one of them who lived in Judah was called. So what was the crowd like? What do you think the crowd would be like? Millions. Millions gathered, they danced, they worshipped God, but the presence of God was not there, and the blessing of God was not flowing down. The second thing I found in this failure, there was a pomp, singing, harps, trumpets, etc., etc., the strings, Yet, there was mourning because Uzziah died. Uzziah died. There was mourning. In the pomp, in the singing, in the worshiping as they did at the time, he died. What happened then? Ceremonies, great ceremonies, does not bring the grace of God. Great ceremonies does not bring the grace of God. Grace of God is untouchable. It's His mercy that brings the great of God, grace of God. It's not the righteousness we have. You all know that. But even we can have all these things, if the grace of God cannot come down and upon you, then the multitude is nothing. The singing is nothing. They must bring the presence of God into the place. Otherwise, there'll be mourning. Otherwise, there'll be anger. Like David was angry in the verse 11. Otherwise, there'll be questions. Otherwise, there'll be mocking of God. Because you mock God, not because God wants to be mocked. God did His part, but His presence was not there. It was more of a ceremony. Ceremonies are not for God. God doesn't want ceremonies. God wants a heart. Amen? The grace of God must be present in every worship. The grace of God must be there when the multitude gather together. Amen? And the blessings of God must be there when the multitude gets together. My message is very short. Don't worry today. I'm not going to saw you out, you know. Jesus has sought me for the last 3 days. He sought me for this message. He sought me left, right, center, everywhere. As I told you, He brought me inside out. My soul, my spirit, my body was inside out. Right? When I went to Malacca, when I fasted, that day was really a day God was shaking me. If it touches your heart, let it be so. But it's touched my heart, what God is speaking to me. There was great energy. Because the word of God says, they worshipped God. They played before God. They worshipped with instruments, with all those things, with all their might. When you say with all your might, just now all the other worshippers here, when they sing with all their might, you can see them expressing well, with all their might they had, pour out themselves to it. There was a lot of energy at the time. But where was the presence of God? You can put out all the might. When the Spirit of God is not there, then it's a failure. It's a failure. Spirit of God must move. In the last days, in Joel, he says it very clearly. In the last days, I'll pour out the Spirit upon every flesh. Every flesh. He's pouring out the Spirit. Amen? So He wants to see us, not just lively, bubbly, and everything else, but He wants to see our heart to be given to the Lord. Even at this time, with all the might, with all that worship, the wheel gave way. It went aside. The wheel gave way. But in the presence of God, nothing can give way. Are you sure with me? If we have the presence of God, nothing will give way. Everything will be intact. Everything surely will be intact. I had a problem with my back, a bone which is very bad. I've x-rayed it, I've got all the x-rays, MRIs, but since then, I stopped taking medication. I said, Lord, if you have brought me to serve the God that you, who you are, and I know of, if you can heal by me laying hands on people, you surely can heal me because your hands can touch me. Until today, sometimes I have some tingling sensation, but I know I can stand before Him because I trust Him. Because in His presence, if His presence is with me, there should be healing in me. If there is presence of Him here, I do not wear anything. I do not wear any kind of gadgets. Because the presence of God will heal us. The presence of God will bring us to a right place. Amen? I trust that, I believe that, and I've been my motto recently since last year. Lord, if you want, you'll carry on with me. Otherwise, take me away. Praise God. So the service and the things is not about being bright, not about being all the thing, but about being that the presence of God must be here. Number four, or the first thing I want to talk about the failure. You see, David is a man who always, he's got his heart after God. He's a psalmist. He's a man willing to sacrifice his own life when he went in front of Goliath. Remember? It's either him or Goliath. Or Goliath or him. In between both of them, there was only one God. God of Israel. The name he went with was the God of Israel. The pebbles were nothing. I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. He sacrificed his life. But here, there was no sacrifice. Amen. Do you see the passage from first verse 1 to the last verse where I read? Was there a sacrifice given to God? And according to what it was before, they always give a sacrifice of the lambs. If you go back and see, even Solomon, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, what was the sacrifice he gave to God? There was a lot of sacrifices. We're not talking about human sacrifice or blood sacrifice because Christ has already given the blood sacrifice for us. Are we today sacrificing our time? Are we today sacrificing our energy? Are we sacrificing something that God can appreciate it and bring forth into His presence as a burnt offering for Him? Amen. It'll be like an incense before Him, the sacrifice. Here in the Old Testament, He's supposed to give a sacrifice. He did not give a sacrifice. Sacrifice was not present. Sometimes in our own way, when we do things, we'd like to do it our way. But there is no sacrifice. Because when we do sacrifice means you do against the things of will of yours. When you do something against the will of ours, but according to the will of God, it's a sacrifice. Amen? It's a sacrifice. So failure was because, number one, the multitude was not the ensuring point or a cause for God's presence and blessings to be there. Number two, the pomp singing and all those pompous worship did not bring the presence of God. And the energy they had did not bring the presence of God. The grace of God was not there. And there was not sacrifice. Second thing I want to discuss about is the fear. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 12. Let's turn to 12, verse 12. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" David, he says, he was feared at the time. David is a man, he's a strong man. If you go back and read about David, at this point of time, he has already won so many wars. Not only Goliath, but he won so many wars. He was a man who brought forth all the giants down. He and his friends, five friends, brought the giants down in the land of the promised land, which the Joshua generation failed. He brought them down after so many generations. And this man, can you just imagine, I fear God. What kind of fear is this? Number one, what made him fear? The terrible death of Uzziah in verse 10 caused him to great fear. He also remembers the second thing that causes to fear about God. A God that slew Nadab and Abihu for offering strange fire. In Numbers chapter 26, verse 61. He also was fearful because the man of Beth-Shemesh, thousands were killed when they opened the Ark of the Covenant to see what is inside. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19. There was a fear of remembering that things God has done for him. God has done. How furious God was. Second thing in this verse you'll find, his own sense of unworthiness for such holy work had made him to cry. His own unworthiness before God. He now see that even bringing the Ark of the Covenant in its holiness. But today, when you look at the holiness of God, many of us take it for granted. We take God for granted sometimes. We see God as not so holy. But we see God as somebody that we can just relate to when we need something, or when we want in trouble, we can relate to them and come on Sunday and worship. But we don't see God as holy. God is perfect and holy. That is why he sent his only son to make us holy through his son. Amen? We are made perfect through the blood of Christ. Otherwise, we are not holy. Only Jesus Christ's holiness can shine upon us. And his holiness will bring us nearer to God. Not our own holiness. There was a fear at that time in the heart of David, because Jesus was not born yet at that time. He had a fear that God can also, although he's loving, but he can also be destructive at that time. Sometimes in our life, when we walk through, we find so many things happens to us. I write to you from just now from 1 Corinthians just now, chapter 11, and he read from verse 17 onwards, and he read what happened. He says, consider. Paul is talking about considering the wrath that God brings on. He dies to himself, he says. But here he says, if you eat of the bread and drink of the wine unjustly, not in a manner which is just, you bring condemnation to yourself. Jesus didn't bring condemnation, but you bring condemnation to yourself because you're not righteous according to what God's word is supposed to be. His self-realization took control of him. Self-realization of himself as impurity took control of him. That's why he cried out and said, how shall I bring the ark of God to home, to us, to me? That's in verse 12. Some make sometimes the holiness as an excuse that because I'm not holy as a Christian, I can still go out doing things. Sometimes it's difficult to follow God. The word of God, when he says, sister, this morning, I didn't ask her to read that verse. Anyway, she read from John this morning. He abides in you, and you abide in him. You are the branches. He's the vine. He says it very clearly. Jesus speaks about holiness. Jesus did not come and say, it's okay, buddy, it's all right. He didn't say, okay, it's all right, no problem. But he says, holy. For Father is holy. So is the Son holy. And because of his holiness, we have this imperfection redeemed. Amen? Our holiness was redeemed through Jesus Christ. Let's not make holiness something, an excuse for us to neglect and wickedly we walk in our life. Others were overwhelmed by holiness. What do you mean holiness? God-fearing holiness. Holiness means you know God is holy, so we come before him with a holy heart. Overwhelmed. And while they were actually overwhelmed with this holiness, they prepared for their holy service in their life. Their life they offered as their holiness towards God. The third thing I want to talk about today is about 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 25. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I've talked about today about the faults, the failure, about how people get fearful. And let's talk about the third part of it. It's about the joy. Verse 25 says this. So David, the eldest of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. What happened to the first time in chapter 13 when he brought that covenant back, Ark of the Covenant, to the city? He was a failure. But second time, he brought it with joy. Why? What was the change in him? Number one, I find, during the time when the presence of God is around you, And the word of God says this in chapter 13, verse 14. Obed, God bless Obed-Edom, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. If you realize that God is blessing every one of them, and because of humility that he was able to bring the presence of God into his house, there was blessing all around his house. Amen? Joy comes only if you know the blessing dwells in you. If the joy comes in your heart because the blessing dwells in you, and definitely God will not let you alone. Nobody will die. We will only be in the presence of God living together with him. Amen? He realized that. Number two, he prepared with thoughts and exercised a lot of things David did before even he brought this. If you read in chapter 15, 14, you find he went to war in 14 and he won it and he came back. He prepared. He prepared this time not of himself. He prepared himself and the entire country, the nations, to meet the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, to bring the presence of God back to the city. Many of us today, we want to have the joy. We have the joy that, you know, we are redeemed by Christ. But we don't have that preparation in whatever we want to do. In our heart, in our mind. If we don't have the preparation in our heart, in our mind, then we can go wrong somewhere. We can fail. Preparation is important of the mind and the heart. Only that the Spirit of God will be upon you, whatever you do, you'll excel well. David prepared well for this time. He knew he failed the first time. David prepared a lot this time. You look at the Bible, it says, talks about he got the people in a right order. He put them in a right order. And then only he brought the Ark of the Covenant. The third thing, we find that he was able to consider the mind of God. He was thinking what God wants out of him. If you go back and you see, you'll find in verse 15, it says that, verse 15, let's read verse 15. And the children of the Levites before the Ark of God on their shoulders, by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. This time, he went to the book, he read and considered what Moses received from the Lord. What Moses received from God, what did he receive? He says, the Levite should carry them by the poles, not by a cart. Ark of the Covenant was heavy, was good. The presence of God was good, but it was supposed to be in your shoulder, on you, not on a cart pulled by a bull or a man. There was a difference. This time they considered what God wanted out of this exercise. How to carry God's presence. We have to carry the presence of God in the New Testament. We carry the presence of God, not in the Ark of the Covenant. Consider that we have to carry the presence of God. If we have to carry the presence of God, how much holy shall we be? Hello? That's the reason why when we come here on Sundays, or even at home, in your house, if there is anything that we've done, come before God and ask forgiveness from God. Because those are things that accumulate in our life. And God doesn't like hypocrisy. God doesn't love hypocrisy because God is a straight God. God is a loving God. Yes, but he's a straight God. He's not a God who does all this under-table money work, all the other things. You can't bribe God like what justice is being bribed today in our country of Malaysia. You can't go and give under-table money just to get somebody else out of the rats or jail. You can't do that because it's straight God. White is white, black is black. Amen? So he needs that to recognize him. You must recognize him as what he is. His mind must be right. We must seek his mind. God, what's in your mind today about me? What's in your heart today about me? God, is there anything that is hurting you? God, is there anything that I've done today that does not please you? God, is there anything, God, that I've done today, Lord, or I'm not disobedient? I'm in disobedient life. Does not please you. Disobedience is God's first hatred. Because disobedience brought forth death upon man in the Garden of Eden. That's his first enemy. Disobedience brought forth the fall of Satan from heaven, Lucifer, down to the earth. He was thrown out from heaven. This was disobedience. God doesn't like disobedience. God doesn't like when we say something, we do it. And we must do it. When God gives you a promise, we expect it and say, God, you promised me this. Where's it? What's happening? But we don't keep to our bargain side of it. We only want, but we don't give what we have to give. God is asking us today. These are the days I'm asking you today. God is not only shake the earth, but he's going to do a lot of water work. He's going to do a lot of water work. You'll see nations flooded. You might even see islands being overwhelmed with water. God is doing something. Not only will he be overwhelmed with water, but he'll bring forth fire in another side. That's a marvelous point about God. One side fire, one side water. You'll be wondering, what's happening to this world? When it's water, it should be water all the way. No, God says, I will use fire and water this time. Something burning here, but something here is flooded. That's how God is going to work now. Because his fire is greater than any other fire in this world. Amen. As they considered, as David considered about the mind of God, and he seek God's mind, what does he want out of me? Then there was this preparation he did for himself. And he says, now I must do it right this time, so that I will get it right. Verse 14 says that, you know, he brought the priests were in their places. Last time the priests were not in their places. You'll find earlier time when he brought, the priests were not gathered. They were not around them, around the Ark of the Covenant. The Levites were not present at a time where they're supposed to place. Many of us are not in our place in our last callings. Many of us forsake our place in the kingdom of God. We want to trade it for the world. We want to trade it for the things that are so juicy in the world. We want to trade it for the things that looks very nice in our eyes. Jesus himself said it. In the last day, your eyes will be deceived. In the last days, your eyes will be deceived. Your hearing will be deceived. But you hear the wrong thing and you like to hear it. God says this time is no. He has given time. He's given time. He's given time. Amen. Praise God. He's put the people at places. Some of us don't want to take up places in our callings. Some of us don't want to take the things because we find we are not right before him. God says, I will make you holy if you right step in front of me. Step before me and I will make you holy. If you take that position of yourself, I will make it happen because God wants people at these times. It's not in our hands to make ourselves holy, but God will make us holy. Amen? Do you want to be holy again? Do you want to see the presence of God in our life? Let him do the work. You do your part of stepping forward. If you don't step forward, you will not achieve what God has brought for you, put forth before you, because you're comfortable in the zone where you're sitting now. You're comfortable in doing the things that you're doing. So that's what's holding on to you. You don't want to step forward. The priests were happy last time because there was these people all singing, worshipping. So much of strength. The priest was enjoying behind where he's supposed to be. He was not there. If you look at Moses, when God gave the commandment to Moses, he says, I want you to have the priests going before them, behind them, behind the Ark of the Covenant. They have to stand and the Levites has got to carry them on their shoulders. Everywhere they went, they carried them on their shoulders. And this time, he brought a wheel, a cart. That was not what was intended by God. Amen? So God is God asking, his God is asking us now today, James, are you walking in the things that I'm asking you to walk? Are you doing the things I'm asking you to do for the last days? So he's speaking to you. Every one of our hearts. Are we in the works of God that He wants to? Whether you're in a marketplace, whether you're a student, whether you're a homemaker, whether you are an office worker, doesn't matter. But are you in it? That is joy. When you do it rightly, that is joy. You'll find this time, in verse 26 also, you'll find David did a sacrifice before he carried the ark. There was a sacrifice offered. The sacrifice is the comfort zone you are in now. Get out of it. And God says, oh, this guy is forsaken. All those things are things that he's holding him on or her on. That's a sacrifice you have to do. That's a sacrifice David offered this time before the Ark of the Covenant was brought. That is why the presence of God was so much. The presence of God was so much. If you read, you'll keep on reading in the chapter 15 and go on reading, you'll find David danced. It says David danced. David did not take off his clothing and dance. The clothing loosened itself from him. Why? The presence of God was so great this time. Because he did everything right according to the word of God. He did everything with his heart this time. He seeked God before he did something. Bringing the presence of God into his place, the Ark of the Covenant, he seeked God first in prayer. He seeked God in his unworthiness. He seeked God for his worthiness of God to be upon him. He seeked God, I was fearful of your things, that you can do so many things, wrath upon man. But I pray that today you will give me that strength, that I can come comfortably before you, knowing a God who will stand by me. That was David at the time. How many of us are going to be Davids today? How do you call female Davids? Davidis? Davida, okay. Are you sure that's the right word or not? Just because I don't know, don't... Davida, okay, whatever it is. So, David is not only a male, it's also females. Children and the older ones. God is calling us today. God is calling us today to be in the right position, right place, and bring the holiness into our heart, in your mind, and bring that what we speak in our mind and our heart, whatever we have, we have to clear it today so that we can score before God and God can call us and use us in the last days. God wants mighty people in the last days. God doesn't want people who are half, one side, half boiled eggs, you know. It's not hard, it's not soft. Somewhere in between. God doesn't want in-betweens. God wants either you are pregnant or not pregnant. Sometimes pregnant, sometimes not pregnant. There's no such thing as that. God says, I want a heart that is full of me, but not half of God, of me. God wants a heart that goes after him, like David did. God is seeking people to see that, revere his holiness. The fear of God is not the fear of trembling before him. That, you know, oh, God is here. I'm so scared. No, God's presence must bring joy in our heart. There was joy when David was preparing mentally, preparing his heart, preparing his spirit man, preparing the entire nation, preparing the people to be in the right place, right time. And they were rehearsing and rehearsing how to bring the Ark of the Covenant. He knew there was joy in him because this time he's doing it right. There was no fear because he gave the reverence to God first. We don't give reverence to God. That is why we fail. The joy of the Lord must be in us. Amen? He brought a sacrifice. What's your sacrifice? What's my sacrifice today? Am I sitting in a comfort zone? I've got to ask myself. Ask yourself, what is your sacrifice that you want to give to God? Search your heart. Search your mind. Are you willing to prepare yourself? Are you willing to see a painstaking time and seeking God? God, what do you want out of me? What do you want out of me out of life? I'm an accountant. What do I do for? I'm a student. What can I do for you? I'm only a laborer outside there. What can I do for you?
God has got a purpose for every one of us to be in a position where you are. Because in the last days, He has to use everyone. In the old days, He used a donkey. This time he doesn't want to use donkeys, because the Son of God has come and gone and raised up. And He sits at the right hand of the Father. He would not want to use donkeys. He'll use people in His image. Amen? Are we ready for that? Are we ready? Are we preparing? Brothers and sisters, this is what God put in my heart last few days. And God has set me aside and said, He can rebuke you sometimes. He'll rebuke you for what we are doing in our life. In whatever duty we are doing, we must do it in the right way. The doing of a duty is in a wrong manner alters the nature of it and makes it sin. Hence, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 21, verse 4. I want to turn to Proverbs 21, verse 4. Proverbs 21, verse 4. What does it say? Can somebody read loud? 21, verse 4. Amen. If your heart is not right, we have to be ready now. Right? To do the righteous things. A proud heart is something that we have to take care of our life. How many times do we have that proud heart? How many times do we have that righteous heart? Brothers and sisters, whatever we do, we must do it right, in the right manner. Because if we do it wrong manner, it will alter the situation and alter the things that, the nature of it. When God asked the people to carry on the shoulder, but David did it otherwise. He put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart and pulled it. That was the wrong way. You altered the nature of God's presence in you to a cart made by hands of man. God wants to change that mindset of us. Let's prepare our heart. Let's prepare that we will not be howling, or rather we will not be wailing in the bed like what in Hosea chapter 7 verse 14 says so. We should be right now looking at how we can prepare for these days which is ahead of us. God has forewarned in this church a few nations, and those of you from Philippines, the northern Luzon, watch out. God is going to do something. California, God is going to do something. What does God say? That I will do it again in Japan has come to pass. That's not the end. There's some more shaking. Watch out for China. Watch out even Malaysia and Indonesia. Watch out what's going to happen on the Eastern Bloc. God is going to do, because He's going to draw back again. He's going to draw back people from England, because His heart is set upon them now. The youths are going away from Him. Drugs, pornography, everything is killing the church. The churches are being abandoned. Paris, Europe, church is being abandoned and taken over by another religious order. God is angry. God is really angry. Psalm 18, He says, like a nostril when He's angry, smoke comes out from His nose. And this is what's happening now. Forsaking, turning away from Him is what God doesn't want. God wants to draw every one of them in these last days. Pray for the nations. Pray for the nations of European bloc. Pray for the nations of even England, that He will come back. Because English sent forth the people before, the missionaries. Today they are left behind. God is coming against witchcrafts. God is coming against organizations which are witchcraft based. God is coming again these last days. Though you might think satanic churches are raising up. Yes, but God is still in control. God is still in control. God is in control of your life. God is in control in micro things. He's also in control of the macro things of the world and the universe. God is in control in my life. My little things I do, He's in control of it. But He's also in control of the entire universe. God is in control of your life. The things that you hide away from Him, God is in control of it. He's watchful of it. God is in control of the things that is happening in your life. But God is also in control of the nations and entire universe. Believe that and be strengthened and draw nearer to Him. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank You, Father God, for Your word, that refining word that You've given us to, Lord. We want to thank You, Father, that, Lord, we will, Lord, hear to Your word. We will do the right things right way, Father, that You want us to do. Lord, we'll put You first than anything else. We'll put You first even when we do something at home. Even we want to start cooking, Lord, let it be a Father God desire from You. Even our appetite, Lord, when we have our appetites, Lord, satisfied, let it be also, Lord, from You, Father God. We'll not forget You in any way, Father. We'll not forget You in anything that we do. We'll not forget You or put You last. We'll always put You first. We'll always put You first in everything that we do. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We'll not go by our flesh, nor our emotions. Lord Jesus, take control of our emotions and our flesh so that we can, Lord, follow You as Your flesh followed the Father in heaven and Your emotions followed the Father in heaven. Lord, teach us, show us the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.